We've got your floggers, we've got your spreaders, we got your ropes, we got your butt stuff, but no genitals. This is a classy mainstream movie, damn it. 50 Shades of Grey was the number one movie. And I'm sorry, it was. Sorry.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with two Buffalo Sabres fans who are going to burn this city to the ground. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Rabble.
And Camila Adams.
What movie did we do?
Bruce Almighty. It has been a minute.
Yeah, that was on me. I had a weird week, and then it was the fourth, and sorry, everybody.
Should be crazy.
Which I needed, because it took me three full nights to watch 50 Shades of Grey. We'll get to it. Bruce Almighty was 77 and a third. In comparison, the rest of the Jim Carrey's Faces movies we've done, Yes Man, 37 and two thirds. We did not enjoy that.
Bummer of a movie.
A Christmas Carol, Jim Carrey pulls Digital Faces, 42 and two thirds. Liar, Liar. Bruce Almighty was 77 and a third. Liar, Liar was 77 and two thirds.
Seems fair.
Yeah.
Same again, but just fading a little bit.
Oh, jeez.
50 Shades of Grey is so bad. It's just so, I thought, you know, given time and, you know, it was really cool to hate it at the time, right? That now I'm a little bit more, you know, measured, and I try not to hate things. I really do. It's so bad.
Yeah, I think I was kind of going in with the same thought process too. It's like, you know what? Maybe, nope. Like 15 minutes in, I'm like, oh God, yeah, it was just, To piggyback on you, yes, it took me like four nights to get through it, because it's just every time it's like I get like 30 minutes in, it's like, oh God, I can't.
Two for me,
because I did watch the whole thing, but then the next day I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. I must be wrong. And I went back and watched like a confusing parts version. I was never wrong. No. We never find out what he does for a living.
No.
He's like, got that one phone call where he's like, that's unacceptable. Tell them to get me the information. What? Are you importing, exporting, or do you run a circus? We have no way of knowing.
Services?
It's like Chandler. He's a transponster. Did we all watch it with our spouses?
No.
I watched the beginning of it with my spouse, and he was like, I love you so much, I am leaving. This has got to stop.
Mary Beth's really into this. What's this Netflix series about the lady who pretended to be a German heiress? What's
the Anna?
Yeah, Anna Delphi?
Yeah. So the dramatization of
yes,
it?
Yes, there's a dramatization of it.
Yeah, that's another hard kind of hard watch.
That was a Shondaland thing, right?
It is a Shondaland.
Yes,
yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it's just like that girl who plays her. Like, I like her, but just the accent.
Colin and I talk, we say all the time, like, it's bigger than Soha House. Speaking of accents, oh my God, Jamie Dornan. That silly little Irish baby. Yeah. He cannot be American. Like, if the world were going to end, if he had to pass as an American, we'd all be gone.
He's having trouble passing as a human in this movie.
I know
he's not a bad actor. No. I've seen him in, like, maybe two other things, and I really liked it.
Did you see Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar?
No.
Well, you have to. It's amazing, and he is magnificent in it.
The thing I saw him in was The Fall.
Was that before
Gillian Anderson?
This?
I don't know, maybe?
Because I feel like he was known for something before this where he was like super creepy.
Yeah, and he was very Irish in that.
Maybe that's, I quote myself, because I read my old reviews of this series, and I was proud of describing Jamie Dornan as a mound of high-end neckties pretending to be a human. He is so bad, and he is so uninteresting, and
His butt looks good.
I don't want to say he's not good looking because he's a handsome man.
He looks better with facial hair.
But
absolutely.
What I wrote down is you would have to be into him to be into him.
Yeah.
Like,
really good way of putting it.
The two women in the graduation scene that are like, he is so hot. I'm like, no, you right. would never say that about this person exactly. from across the room.
No, not it's, at all. It was really overplayed with the how hot he is.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Tell us what happens in the movie, Camila, because I have a long list of complaints.
Yeah,
space it out a little bit.
I have some mild defenses coming up too.
Great,
super. Anna, an intelligent but vanilla frump, interviews the rich and unnervingly blah Christian Grey. Christian and his dark past woos her by showing off his helicopter, piano skills, light stalking, talking about contracts, safe words, and why he doesn't really do the romance thing. Anna, bless her naive heart, falls for the foolishness. Unlike date two, Christian shows her his pier one playroom. Anna's like, oh my god, I'm a virgin. So Christian gets that out of the way real quick. She tries to play hard to get, and he shows up to her apartment to fuck. Ice cubes, blindfold, smack it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh no, Anna is whipped. The plot meanders aimlessly, punctuated by Christian's brooding and Anna's blushing. Do you care about the plot? Christian formally invites her to his playroom, undresses her, puts her on her knees, handcuffs, riding crabs, panty sniffing, brass rings, hooked to Rex, hard nipples, glimpse of penis base, tied up, tied down. He quite literally fucks her stupid. After weeks of getting spanked, spent, and spread, Anna finally gets yellow and calls yellow and walks out on Christian. Roll eyes and credits and maybe call a therapist for the both.
Yes.
Yeah. Very well done.
Okay. The yellow thing. She doesn't actually call yellow. And I remember this.
And I don't remember. Was that their safe word?
So, yellow is I don't know, and red is the stop.
Okay. And here's the thing. So I remember from when this film came out that Sam Taylor Johnson, the director of the film, got into a lot of conflict with E.L. James, the author of the books. Uh-huh. And one of the pieces of conflict was that the director wanted to change that line when she goes, no, stop, no. Mm. She wanted it to go, stop, no, red. Mm-hmm. Which I think is incredibly powerful.
Yes. I was expecting her. I've seen it, and right. I still was like, she says red here, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, that would have just made it all make much more sense. Yes. But because E.L. James didn't write that, she was like, well, absolutely not. So I do think that part of the reason this movie is bad is because
she was so involved.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason for Later's Baby to be in this movie. There's no reason for I'm 50 Shades of Fucked Up to be in this movie. There are certain ridiculous things you can say in fan fiction that you do not right. say in major motion pictures.
Exactly.
There are so many writers in the world. Many people have written many books. Many of them are very good. And what that does not correspond directly to, it is not the better your book is, the more successful it is.
Sure.
That is not, obviously. Mm-hmm. There are wonderful books that no one ever reads. There are terrible books that everybody reads. So what you can't do, in my opinion, as an author, is go, aha, I became rich and famous. I must be a genius.
Oh,
no.
Wow. Yeah.
No,
you're so right.
You are not. I would even say that someone like it doesn't strike me that someone like Stephen King walks around thinking like, I'm great.
Right.
Like,
there's a reason that he was an alcoholic.
Yeah. Right. So for E.L. James and J.K. Rowling to constantly be thinking that their thoughts are so great. It's like, no, you just hit. You just put the right ingredients in the pot at the right time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. Especially when you started as, let me tell you about this movie and its origins. It was released February 13th of 2015, the fifth number one movie of that year, $85.1 million its opening weekend. Easily beat fellow debut Kingsman, The Secret Service, the original one, was second with $36.2 million.
Quick interruption. Mm-hmm. So the way we know that we did not see this movie together, Sean, is I did not know you yet. I still lived in Cape Town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
And I think I've determined we did not see the second one together.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. Like we said on the last episode that we had podcasted both of these.
Yes.
That's not true. We just did the third.
Just the third. Sorry to interrupt.
Which is still on the feed. You can listen to it if you want. I find my own podcasting style from then a bit irritating, so I wouldn't tell you. Robin was great. I was talking a lot.
I'm also probably going to repeat everything I said then today. Yeah.
50 Shades won its second weekend, $22.2 million, spent 5 weeks in the top 10, $166.1 million, 17th for that year. The book, this is why I wanted to, initially self-published in 2011, no shade in self-publishing, that's not what I'm criticizing, after being developed as Twilight fan fiction.
I don't want to judge that either, frankly.
There's a lot of good fan fiction in the world, I understand. I will criticize that her fan fiction name was Snow Queen Ice Dragon. That is her pseudonym.
No!
Snow Queen Ice Dragon.
It gets worse.
One, sorry. That's just four words. Not names.
Hang on. The title of the the book or the...
Her name.
Her, like, identity, her, like, avatar.
Her avatar was Snow Queen Ice Dragon. The title of the title of the book...
I hate it.
Was
Master of the Universe.
Yeah.
Yes.
By what? Snow Queen's Ice Dragon.
Okay. Boy.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
And it was about Bella and Edward, yeah. but in this context, like, he was a businessman and she was
Was he a vampire?
I don't know.
Okay, that was one thing I didn't quite understand, because the tampon scene in the book was, there's a scene where they fuck while she's on her period and he, like, takes out the tampon sexily. And exactly, like, normalized menstruation, but what? But then it was like, oh, but he's a vampire, so blood is sexy to him.
In the book, he was not a vampire.
Okay, that was my question.
The book that I read, yeah. He was not
so
a vampire.
So wait, you've read the book?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, say more.
The floor is yours.
It's... Again, like you said, like the right ingredients at the perfect time. Mm. I don't remember what that perfect time was, but everybody was talking about
absolutely
this fucking book. So I'm like, okay. So I even bought all three, I think, at the same time, thinking, yes, all right, this is what we're going to do. And so I read it and, like, I couldn't finish reading it. It was so terrible. Like, it's like the whole, my inner goddess.
Oh, that's her vagina?
Her vagina, or whatever her actual inner goddess, like the amount of times that was said, like the dialogue, the words, the text is so repetitive.
He starts with her outer goddess and works
his yeah, and it's just so repetitive, and like she's doing a happy dance, and, you know, it's just like, it's very
bites her lip.
I got something about that too. It's very like what you would imagine a 15-year-old girl's diary would be like.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who has not experienced sex, someone who is just now starting to grapple with these, I have a crush on a boy type things. Like, you know, like it's just so, it's all very pedestrian and it's repetitive and I couldn't finish it. And I think I like dropped all three of those books off somewhere, just left them like out in the world, like out on a bench somewhere.
You set them free.
That's a sex crime in certain jurisdictions. It's the modern equivalent of finding the porn in the woods. But this is what I'm saying. It's not about fan fiction. It's not about self-publishing. It's about, like, you wrote a Twilight fan fiction under the name Snow Queen Ice Dragon. You don't get to have no humor about it.
Yeah.
Right?
And
having re-listened to our 50 Shades Freight, I don't remember what happens in each movie. Having re-listened, what we liked is that one was the one that started to play with itself.
It started to have
a sense of humor about what was happening.
The second one has jokes in it too. The second one is weird. They're weird movies, guys.
Yeah.
I would argue this is the worst of the three by a lot, which is a strange opinion to hold.
Cringe. Like, I was just so much secondhand embarrassment
throughout
this whole movie. It's so ugh.
Does anyone not know what butt plugs are?
Children.
I mean, my whole thing was like, baby, if you gotta ask, then you say no.
Words to live by.
Where was I? E.L. James has released 6 books in the 50 Shades series.
6?
Yeah, because there's a problem with idea generation here.
Oh, that's right. She did it again, but from his perspective.
The 3 books that you know, and then those 3 stories again with Christian as the narrator. I mean, stretch out that.
Where is my stupid ass? Like, yeah. You know, $1 million idea, you know? Like,
because she's so rich.
Right?
She is so rich.
It's so gross. I hate it.
She was also released an unrelated series, a duology called The Mr. and the Mrs., which were not well received in comparison to 50 Shades of Grey.
Like,
considered even critically fan, whatever, not nearly as good as 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow, that must have been like, Dan called this cocktail movie, or like a cocktail napkin script.
Ah, yes, very good.
Oddly, this broke Twilight's record for the highest weekend debut for a female-directed film.
Huh.
That, a lot of caveats.
Yes. Yeah.
Not about a vampire filmed on a Tuesday.
The record has fallen a couple of times since, obviously obliterated by Barbie, but interesting parallels there. The alternate universe casting, I know that there's a million names associated with it. The true, like, almost is Ryan Gosling and Emilia Clarke.
The idea of Ryan Gosling in this movie makes me so unhappy.
I know.
I'm so relieved that we were spared.
Oh, and that he was spared.
Exactly. Like, well, thank God you dodged that bullet, right, sir.
Well, thank him, because he was offered the part and just was simply not interested.
Bless his
God
heart.
Bless him.
Yes.
Clark was interested, but was not comfortable with the amount of nudity.
Who is she?
Khaleesi.
Oh, yep. Okay. Well, wait a second. Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's like, sis. Like, I've already seen all of your aerials.
I know, but kind of briefly, as opposed to, like, really the study of
Dakota Johnson that we get here. It is. I will say, like, one of the things I like about this movie is there's a lot of naked people in it. Like, that's not pretty common.
I know we talked about this on this podcast already, but, like, you don't get to do this and not show the junk.
Okay.
Yeah, we thought, like, yeah.
A lot of butts.
That goes in the butt bank.
I'm into the butts.
Yeah.
Although Dakota Johnson, I'm on record as a Dakota Johnson super fan.
I love limes. I love them.
She is not very good at acting while naked.
Mm.
She becomes sort of, she's good at acting while writhing when she's doing the back arches and the toe curls.
Sure, sure.
But when she's, like, walking around.
Yes.
I see what you mean.
Yes. She just seems self-conscious in a way that maybe she's trying to seem self-conscious because Anna would be, but it reads as Dakota Johnson is self-conscious.
It makes it so much less, I don't want to say less sexy because it's zero sexy. Yeah. It makes it feel bad that she's a virgin. That's not.
Oh, I feel so bad for this girl.
Yeah.
That adds nothing to the fantasy.
Right. That's another thing. It's like, I feel really horrible that this is your first sexual relationship.
Right.
No, you want that character. Again, what are we criticizing? You want that character to be a person who has had some unfulfilling relationships, has had a lot of vanilla sex, and is like, not who's experiencing a penis for the first time.
Right.
Like, that's not.
That's not where. This is not. It's not okay. And then, yeah.
What are we trying to. Charlie Hunnam was actually cast in the role.
Okay.
He left either because of scheduling conflicts.
Or bad writing.
Or because the fans harassed him out of the thing.
Fans harassed him? Who does not want to see Charlie Hunnam do this?
There, you have to get into fandom history to fully understand that. From what I can tell, there were two diehard, dedicated, our guy needs to be Christian Grey factions on the internet. One wanted Ian Somerhalder, the vampire.
Ian Smoking Hottie?
Yeah, the Vampire Diaries guy.
Oh, he would have done that.
That would have worked.
He would have fucked this role.
And he apparently was never really close. And he said, "I was doing Vampire Diaries."
I mean, I'm going to say he's a TV actor.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a big leap for him. But I guess so was Dakota Johnson at the time.
And
so.
Matt Bomer, a lot of people wanted that guy.
Okay,
I could sort of see it.
So when that didn't happen, these fan bases started actively harassing both Christian Grays. They were like attacking Charlie Hunnam. People still say. He didn't want that shit and dropped out. He says he was doing, he had some movie about the same time and was on TV. So he was like, I can't make this work. Mm. That he says that to this day. But Jamie Dornan put his family in hiding because of the amount of hate that he got. Yeah.
What is wrong with people?
I know.
Yeah.
Fandom is bad. If you're in a fandom, bad idea.
No, I disagree. I think fandom is an overall force for good. It helps a lot of people who have community find community. It is overall good.
It's the taking the shit too far and too seriously.
It's type of thing fandom.
Yeah.
Anime fandom, wrestling fandom, furry fandom, whatever. A category, fine. Star Wars fandom, bad. Doctor Who fandom, bad. It's when you get specific, then it turns toxic.
Interesting.
Wrestling fans are good. WWE fans are not.
I think it's just. I think it just has a lot to do with the people who are involved and how far, like, how much you don't have going on in your own life. That
right.
You got. Yeah. Like, you think about, like, I am part of the Buffy fandom,
right.
I would say. I have never, like, personally one-on-one, like, gotten into anything with anybody. But, you know, I'm a grown-ass woman also. Mm. But that's...
it's important.
Right, yeah. But it's also, like, you know, you just got to think about it, people. These people aren't paying your bills. This fandom is not paying your bills. Like, it doesn't matter, like, if Charlie Hoonan, if Jamie Dorsey, if fucking, you know, Ian Smokin' Hottie was Christian Bale, your bills still need to be paid.
Was Christian Bale.
Christian Grey,
whatever. Yeah. You get what I'm saying.
I do.
It's dumb. It's just,
you're
like,
right.
It's just
stupid. People just...
put his family in hiding. That is so sad.
Enjoy things without ruining other people's lives.
Right.
Try it. There's other movies. There's other books.
And it's not...
read one of those.
And it wasn't even worth it, like, for him to, I would say, to put his, the poor baby, put his family in hiding.
I know. For this? The movie's draw, the box office dropped as the series went on. Darker, 50 Shades Darker opened to $46 million, $114 million total. 50 Shades Freed opened to $38 million, $100 million total. 50 Shades Darker is not a nomia. It was held off by the Lego Batman movie. Good job that week.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, guys.
50 Shades Freed is a nomia, but Robin has vetoed it in the past.
Oh,
so
good.
We're
I was
done.
Like, I'm only podcasting right. that once.
We're done. We're done, everybody. We're not doing it anymore. Expensive Baubles.
Expensive Baubles.
All right, this was nominated for Best Original Song, The Weeknd song.
Yes, okay. That's it.
Soundtrack was banging.
I really love the soundtrack to this movie.
It's doing that, all of the work.
Yeah.
That Crazy in Love remix.
That's why I had to buy the whole soundtrack in order to get that. Like, Apple was like, nope.
Worth it.
We know you just came here for this
song. Completely worth it. And I think the Ellie Goulding song is really good, too.
Listen to the trailer.
So this is just an interview for the newspaper. I just have a couple of questions.
Mr. Gray will see you now.
What was he like?
He was polite, intense, smart, really intimidating. Do you have any interests outside of work?
What about you? I'd like to know more about you.
There's really not much to know about me. Look at me.
I am.
To what do you owe your success?
I exercise control in all things, Miss Steele.
It must be really boring.
Capable of leaving you alone.
Then don't.
I had a rough start in life. You should steer clear of me. I don't do romance. My tastes are very singular. You wouldn't understand.
Beyonce.
That's
crazy. Yeah.
Because that's what got me in there.
The trailer is so much better than the movie.
Right.
Because of Beyonce.
Exactly. Because I read the book, but I'm going to give you a chance.
Yeah.
Because Beyonce has given you a chance. She would not put her name on the line for that.
No, I mean, I do actually think that's a really good point. It is like one of the only vaguely cool things in the movie is Beyonce's involvement. Everything else is so cringe that it's like, thank God.
Well, and Haunted is my sneaky favorite Beyonce song.
Oh, God, so good.
Yeah.
Renaissance of Film Babe, Beyonce, still not available.
Beyonce, please.
It's been 2 years. yes.
Set the Bobbles.
Earned It was nominated for Best Original Song, lost to Writings on the Wall from Spectre.
Oh, God.
The bad one of the three recent
Bond. That was the, first of all, that song's terrible. Secondly, that was the year that they had that Diane Warren song that Lady Gaga performed, and they had all the sexual assault survivors on stage, and it was like one of the most beautiful performances at the Oscars.
Joe Biden introduced the performance.
Oh,
then Vice President Joe Biden came out.
And it's just
and
like, like,
and then they gave the award. Like, clearly they were like, I think Diane.
It's time for Diane, and it was like, nope.
It's like, oh,
mediocre James Bond song.
Sam Smith, really? Okay.
Also, I remember the Weeknd's performance. They had an aerial dancer, which was very amusing to me for MasterChef reasons. If you know, you know. We don't have time to get into it. That's mostly for Colin.
The Critics' Choice Awards nominated the Ellie Goulding song "Love Me Like You Do." It was not on my ballot. I checked, but "See You Again" from Furious 7 won the Critics' Choice Award.
That's nice.
Was not nominated at the Oscars,
which I think is wrong. That's a good song.
Not even the MTV Movie Awards would hand a trophy to this.
Wow.
Dakota Johnson lost breakthrough performance to Daisy Ridley in The Force Awakens. They lost Best Kiss to Rebel Wilson and Adam Devine in Pitch Perfect 2. Sure. Okay.
I don't know.
Nope. Couldn't tell you.
Finally, two important things to note. Here's our social responsibility segment. In the year after the novel's publication, injuries deriving from BDSM and sex toy use requiring emergency room visits spiked 50% in this country.
Don't do that shit unsupervised.
What?
And uneducated.
People bought the book, said, get me one of them floggers, and then we're in the hospital.
And then you gotta flogged their eyeball out.
Do some research. You have to read, watch some video. The videos will
he
be fun.
He tells her. He's like, you got it. He's like, Google submissive.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a study, a 2013 study, found that nearly every interaction between Christian and Anna meets the CDC's characteristics of intimate partner violence and or emotional abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which... we covered this in the archive.
Yeah.
You can go back. We're not going to dwell on it too long. This is a horrible, unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
It's one person who admittedly, avowedly, only knows how to abuse.
Right.
And another.
Because he was abused.
Another who has no idea how to be in a relationship because she's never been in a relationship before. That is going to be an unhealthy relationship. It is depicted as an unhealthy relationship. It kind of works if the series ends with this movie where she's like, you know what?
Bye.
Yeah. No.
Right. Exactly.
That'd be fine. We know it doesn't, but right. it's really upsetting that anyone finds this sexy.
Like by the time he gets to the NDA, where it's like we've already like dropped like 10 red flags like in his personality.
One of the reasons I needed to rewatch was because I was like, does she ever actually sign that contract?
No.
She does not.
No.
But I assume she does sign the NDA. Because he's like, you have to sign the NDA, but like, is this like
probably
the vow where you have to like sign the NDA before you get the right actual contract? Like, it's so upsetting to me on so many levels. This poor girl.
Right. And the whole when she drunk dials him.
Which. Really charming. I'm a Dakota Johnson super fan. When she says you hit the hail on the Ned,
right? And I'm sad I'm sad that this is my first interaction with Dakota because this like pretty much just tainted everything else. But when he's like, have you been drinking? You know, like she's not in AA. Like,
she doesn't know you.
Yeah, right.
You live in different cities.
Stop. Put it down. Stop drinking. Go home. I'm going to come. And then just shows up. Like the fuck? Oh my God.
There's never a moment where she shouldn't assume that she's in terrible danger.
Right.
Right.
Like she's there's
he shows up in her house.
There's vehicles and he's in the house and now we're doing handcuffs and it's like every there's never chemistry. Like she's trying. He's not good enough an actor to try, but she's trying to act like there's this mysterious draw and, you know, suggestively pushing a pencil on her lip. Is the pencil
again,
a dick? I don't know.
All right, so
let's open up the box.
So wait,
let's
so
do it.
There's a step back.
Okay.
A hot second. Mm-hmm. Speaking of chemistry, I have compiled a list of 5 couples
ooh
with hotter chemistry than Anna and Christian.
Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Barbie and Ken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The plastic versions. Mm-hmm. Socks and shoes. Bert and Ernie.
Slips right in there, don't they?
Yep. Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
Accurate.
Yeah.
The old guys from the Muppets.
Waldorf and Statler.
Yes, thank you. And bacon and eggs.
Oh.
Ooh, bacon and eggs. Mm.
Literal chemistry. It's sizzling.
Yeah, the whole lip biting thing, like the fact that we keep revisiting that. It's one thing for him to just say it one off and just be like, whatever. But like, we're really trying to force this and to be something to force the audience to believe how sexy this is. That shit was said to me by some dude when I was 17 years old.
Really?
Yes. this shit is not high tier. Like, it's not like where this is like bottom of the barrel type, you know, like flirting, quote unquote. And it's like, that's insane to me.
Yeah.
That we try, that we're using this. And then, and the way that he says it, or like, and when he threatens to put her over his knee, that in such an unsexy manner.
Right.
Now, again, now that shit has been said to me too. But he pulled it off. Right. There's a way to go about saying it.
He says it like it she's his niece.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Right.
Well, and when you have an actor who doesn't really know how to act and is putting all of his resources into what do Americans say words like, then, yeah, like, I,
let
I'm
me
not
be
sure.
clear.
Just steer clear of me.
Or when he's like, I fuck hard.
I fuck hard.
Do you, buddy?
Hoy to toy to toy.
I did spend more time responding aloud to this when she's like, "That was really nice." I'm like, "Was it?" What? Even when Peacock cut to commercials and is like, "Watch these messages and then enjoy the rest of your movie." Don't tell me what to do. One, the word enjoy, it does not belong here. And a two, maybe I'll watch the rest, and maybe I won't. But you shut up.
Kevin, we have a quick sidebar about Peacock, because I haven't watched a movie on Peacock in a long time, and how it says at the beginning, watch these messages. It's so ominous. So ominous. And then the other thing is, I'm a pauser. I pause. Mm-hmm. And like, if I need to go do something, or if I have a question or whatever, I pause it, and it's immediately assaulting me with advertisements. Relax, Peacock. Relax. I don't need to know about Target Circle Week.
Oh, yeah. They were selling ice cream from Target. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm going in there for. I mean, anyway. Sam Taylor Johnson, it's not her fault. I know she was trying.
What else has she done?
I'll tell you in a minute. She had something.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Hmm?
What?
They're married. That's why they have the same last name. Yeah. She is 20 years his senior.
Yeah.
That's more than that. No, not good for her, because while none of this is her fault, they met when he was 18 and she was 41. 41 and 18.
Okay, I am currently 41 and I'm going to go, what? No!
There's no way in. There's no force on this earth.
Oh, okay.
No.
She broke through with a thing that was bigger in England called Nowhere Boy. It was about young John Lennon.
No.
And then she did this. She did A Million Little Pieces, speaking of controversial book adaptations. And she did Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse movie.
Oh, which everyone hated.
Oh, so she just sucks all around. Kind of just sucks. Mm-hmm.
She's the less successful part of the couple.
Yeah.
And the less talented part of the couple.
I know, and I'm saying that.
I know
that I'm on record hating Aaron Taylor Johnson. But I do think she tried with this movie.
No, and she's said, like, in retrospect, I should not have done that. Like, she's come out and all but disavowed it.
Like, I do not really think there would be a way to make this movie good.
Find a different writer?
Right, like, it's rotten to the bones, is what I'm saying.
Right, yes. This is definitely a... Yeah, no, because I hate, like, you know, I've said before that I read the smut and like the dark romance and all that stuff. I hate these common tropes of billionaire.
Why is that so popular?
I hate it because it's like,
because you're being whisked away from your life, because you're going with the person who can snap their fingers and solve your problems.
Okay, yes, but I also feel like this is an excuse to make to excuse this type of terrible, distant behavior.
Yeah.
Like what from like Christian just being just non emotionally committed at all. It's like, oh, but he bought me a car, and, you know, or he swept me away in his helicopter to Seattle.
Or my weird aircraft that I could never quite figure out what was going on, but they were having a good time.
Glider?
Okay.
Oh yeah, that was
I was like, all right, I'm going to let this go. I'm going to check my emails.
Like, anything is fucking exciting. If somebody drops billions of dollars on it, it's just,
Well, that's the thing. It's a shortcut. It's trading the fantasy. I mean, there is a little bit that, like, there's no one left in society that can be mysterious. You have to be a billionaire to be shrouded in secrecy. In 2025, you can't have a count or a cowboy or, you know, like some mysterious drifter. Like, those aren't, you know, this is the mysterious person that we can understand in our world. I get that, but it's a shortcut. It's just it's replacing, you know, actual character building with money. It's,
I mean, but if you think about real billionaires, they are like almost all awful. So it's like, it shouldn't be a thing that gets into fantasies, right? Your fantasy should be no more billionaires.
It was always supposed to be like, you know, it's always like the grumpy billionaire too.
And Mr. Rochester shit.
And with like an age gap too. That's another thing that pisses me off is the age gap. And it's just, again, that's a shortcut for this young ingenue, this young woman like being fooled. And
I mean,
and
she's
flummoxed and, you know, just being able to being taken advantage of, essentially.
And he's 22.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she is still very young.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
The poor girl.
And then they kind of, and I don't know if they try to tell us that she falls for this because she's young or because she is desperately looking for somebody in her life to love her. Because I get the, because I feel like they kind of, there's a hint of, because her mom misses her graduation because her new husband wants to go golfing.
Yeah.
That hurt my feelings.
Yes.
That hurt my feelings.
Yes.
And so, but then like her dad shows up and he's like, he seems to be the only one that's around that's just like, hey, wait, well, he's the who? He's the what? Yeah. Who's this dude?
Well, her life is conveniently untethered. You know, no real job. Parents are far away. It's just lazy. It's just lazy. And really the only way to make it better would have been like, to do the porn, to like cut down on the plot and make the sex scenes longer and explicit and said, hey, it's an adult film.
Exactly.
That probably would have been a better, it wouldn't have been great, but it would have been a better product than this.
Don't give us enough to, don't give us too much stuff that we are questioning. Basically.
Yeah.
It's like, because it was like what? Like an hour before we even get
I clocked like, it. It's 44 minutes before they get naked.
No.
Yes.
Also, can he have normal sex or can't he? Because
he does,
At first he's like, this is the only thing that I can. And then he has normal ass sex with her three times.
Yeah.
Right. He's a liar.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. That is really what it is.
And he's 50 shades of fucked up.
You could hear the shame in his voice as he was saying it. Where it's like, I don't think you were blocked to walk away from the camera and look down on that shot. You were just like... I have to say this. They're paying me.
Contractually obligated to embarrass myself in this way.
The Letterboxd list, this is fun, is condemned. List of films rated morally offensive by the Catholic Church. You didn't grow up Catholic.
But I grew up in an incredibly Catholic area.
But did you ever see the paper?
I went to a Catholic school.
The paper.
Not the paper boy.
Larger cities would have a weekly Catholic newspaper. It's called Pittsburgh Catholic here, and there were others around. And there was a nationalized rating system for movies. The back page of the Pittsburgh Catholic would be movie reviews, and they would give their opinion, but they would also have a scale of like...
How godly?
of, you know, who it would... How appropriate it was for a Catholic to, you know. And the... last level was morally offensive. That only kept for about 20 years. They changed it or they did something, but for 20 years there's a list of movies that the Catholic Church said this film is morally offensive, and we keep hitting them. This is on there. Freaky, Texas Chainsaw 3D, The Town, Tropic Thunder, 22 Jump Street, Bohemian Rhapsody, all labeled morally offensive.
Wow.
By the Catholic
Church. That is a varied list.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's certain things that the Catholics do not like.
Complicated dogma.
Yeah. But that's a fun list if you're looking. We did the trailer. We did the thing. I think we can move on.
Yeah. Well, we got to rate it.
The only things left in my notes are the moment that I was trying to be like, how do I describe Jamie Dornan? Bland Drew Garfield. That's who he is.
And Andrew Garfield's not that much to speak of.
Certainly not the most handsome gentleman born on August 20th, 1983.
Is that Colin's
birthday? Yep.
That's nice. And the moment where Mary Beth got really excited and said, oh, 50 Shades of Grey, it's a movie about your hair.
I was so amused by him having literally 50 different gray ties.
I know.
I was like, like the title. In the book? Oh boy.
21. The soundtrack's great. Dakota Johnson's good. The end. 21.
I give it 5 points for the flip and smack when when he breaks into her house.
Mm.
Does that. And then 10 points for the soundtrack.
Valid.
And 23.
Okay. I started at 25, which is more generous than either of you. And then I added 5 points for depicting condom use. Almost never happens in movies. Right. I gave it 1 point for I will launder this item. 5 points for the soundtrack. Although I do think 10 would be appropriate, but I'm already being super generous. Right. 5 points for the soundtrack. And then, so that is 11 points plus 25 is 36 minus 2 for later's baby, 34.
Okay. All very fair. 26. We get land on 26.
I think that is right on the money. Like, generous. This is not the worst movie I've ever seen.
No.
It is shaped like a movie.
Yeah.
Dakota Johnson is still very charming, but yikes.
I think the
yikes.
And I looked at my that is appropriate. I looked at my numbers and I gave the middle one the worst score.
I think I like that one the best.
I think the first one, it's bad, but everyone's trying.
Mm.
The third one, it's goofy and you can enjoy it on the goofiness.
Right.
The second one isn't goofy yet and nobody's trying anymore. Immediately they all check out.
I think it's goofy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rewatch it. Let's be like, there's not enough life left to rewatch 50 Shades Darker, but it does have that scene that is lifted directly from Working Girl.
I expect you to call me Anna. And I don't expect you to fetch me coffee unless you're getting some for yourself. And the rest of it, we'll just make up as we go.
Which I was just like, am I awake? Is this really happening?
Yeah, for I was like, when Sean was told us that they're all on Peacock, I was like, yeah, maybe I will go ahead. And then like, again, 15 minutes in that first one, nope.
I think this is the first like deliberate three shifts I've done for the I've done two before. Like I'm busy. I got to watch 1 hour on Monday and 1 hour on Tuesday. This was, I watched 1 hour on Monday, on Sunday. I was like, I'll finish tomorrow. Monday rolled around. No, I'm not going to do that. Tuesday is like, I'll give it a half an hour. Maybe if I get then the next, three whole sessions.
I think I was watching it when you texted us that we had to reschedule, and I immediately shut it off.
Yes, you were. You were like, and stop.
To the bingo card.
Oh.
is this a geek to beauty?
Yeah.
Yeah, she kind of is.
He changes her.
She goes from one frumpy sweater to style. Claustrophobic space. I don't know. If anything, the playroom is a little sparse.
Yeah.
At one point in my life,
I
lived.
Bingo.
Oh.
Wait. Am I doing the wrong one?
6625.
Yep. Totally doing the wrong
one. I don't remember a heart envelope. It's not really a hearts movie.
We are deciding we all have just a home state, right? Like the fact that I lived in Washington State before does not make that square get crossed off.
No, I think we're counting Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Ohio.
I approve of that. I just wanted to clarify. I have lived in Washington State. Although it's unclear to me how much of the movie takes place in Washington and how much takes place
in Oregon. The heart envelope is my secret. My other secret thing.
Which apparently I haven't done the thing yet.
Well, actually, they were both Robin. Actually, I did.
Do I not have things?
I thought hers were the easiest ones to just think of at that moment.
I have a lot of things, is the thing.
Yep. All right. Yeah.
No, I am who I am.
It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. The delay in a week means I can talk to you about Jurassic World Rebirth.
Yeah,
which apparently I liked a lot more than everybody.
I liked it too.
Maybe I shouldn't be comparing, but I've been like, did y'all see the last two? Because this one is a delight compared to...
Chris Pratt's nowhere near this.
No. Nowhere to be seen.
You did a... It could have
There is no one annoying in the movie.
What?
I know.
The boyfriend's a little annoying, but he's supposed to be.
Is that the new guy with the glasses that everybody keeps talking about?
No, this is a young. There's a late teens couple.
Jonathan Bailey, really good, actually. Yeah. And also, when he's wearing glasses, looks like a normal person. Yeah. Like, I didn't recognize him for like 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, oh, have that thing that happens in movies where when you wear glasses, you're no longer attractive.
Hello, Clark Kent.
Yes.
It's what I wanted. We played for a little bit with the fact that we are still in the same world, so there's just dinosaurs around. Mm. We play with that a little bit, but not too much. Then we put some people, including some helpless children, on the island, and we see what happens. That's all I want from that experience, and it delivered.
I loved the helpless child and her pet dinosaur. Oh. I was very, very taken by Dolores. Mm-hmm. I also the thing that I enjoyed about the movie is it seemed like everybody was having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin told me that ScarJo begged her agent to get her in this movie, which great. And apparently it made her the highest grossing actor of all time.
Yeah.
So great. Even better, but it just seemed like everybody at Mahershala was tearing apart that role that is completely mm-hmm. unwritten, and he's I am going to create a deep and meaningful character awesome. To fight these dinosaurs because he is a great actor.
Yeah. No, somebody messaged me and was like, oh, how did you give this a good review when, and then they pointed out three narrative flaws.
Oh yeah, there's definitely those.
I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't give a shit. Still that's why it's not a 10. It's an 8. That takes it down a little bit. Fun can be fun. Speaking of Star Wars fandom, I feel the same way when people are like, Luke Skywalker wouldn't do that. I'm like, I want to go to the movie theater every couple years and see the pew-pews and the spaceships and have a fun Star Wars time. I don't really care what happens. Yes, the originals had tighter stories. That's true of everything.
Yeah.
Calm down, everybody.
I think the big drawback for the new Jurassic Park, though, is the mutant dinosaurs just look silly.
Some of them.
The big bad at the end. I'm like, you just look dumb. This looks dumb.
We're on the island where they put their, the ones that didn't
cook
right.
The ones that went wrong.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's got a big goofy, it's like a T-Rex, but he's got a big blockhead and long arms.
A T-Rex with elephantitis.
But I mean, those guys were already pretty funny. Like, what's the one that's got the weird, it looks like a hammerhead shark?
Yeah.
mm-hmm. those guys were already.
First of all, I loved that the first act is Jaws, but with dinosaurs. And I thought they did a good job of doing the core stuff right, concealing when the helicopter and the thing goes into the fog. He's having, what's his name? The Godzilla guy?
Gareth
Edwards. He's just having fun with it. And I enjoyed it. Camila, do you want to say something before we have a similar conversation about F1, which I assume also did not see?
Okay, so the two that I've seen. Mm-hmm. I saw Wolfs with Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Movie I have fallen asleep during multiple times.
Yeah, it took me. I started this probably a month ago. The movie, but I thought it was cute enough. It's fine. It's just watching their two characters from Ocean's 11.
Yeah,
banter it out. I like the banter that Brad and George do. I like their dry humor together. And Final Destination Bloodlines, which again, it was fine. It's what you expect from a Final Destination movie. I can't get caught up in the minutiae of why. I can never follow.
The lore?
Yeah. Why this is happening. The real train of my train of thought keeps falling back to that. And I just keep nope, don't do it. You're going to get lost.
My only objection to, and I think it's the best Final Destination, is that it's a little too long because they're really working to establish, actually, this woman was the original. It's just have a bunch of people almost die and then go, death's here. Right. We don't need to complicate matters.
That's the only reason why we're here. I thought that they were, the little family was kind of funny. The mm-hmm. the brothers, there was a little more humor there. And then, yes, the Tony Todd scene was sad and just sad. To R.I.P. Tony Todd. Yeah. And also, while we're here, I guess, Michael Madsen and Julian McMahon, which I actually cried about Julian from Nip Tuck.
Oh, yeah.
Charmed.
Oh, terrible. Just terrible.
with Michael Madsen's death, I think I might finally believe we're not getting that Vega Brothers movie. If you had said it 2 days before he died, I would have said, yeah, he still might. You know what? You never know with him.
Right.
That's a shame. I he was doing a lot of conventions, and you just heard these stories. The people would meet him at a convention and go, "Ooh, he's not doing well. He's in poor health." Mm-hmm. So that's a shame. If anything, he's an underrated actor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whether or not his whether or not he contributed to that reputation, but I mean, he does so much with like not moving a lot.
Yeah,
you know, if you think about Kill Bill and Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, anyway. He was one of those. Him and Julian were both one of those actors that I was always happy to see show up mm-hmm. in something. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. yay. I watched that stupid FBI show because of Julian.
There you go.
All rules are meant to be broken. You can't kill a child for humor in a movie. Wait, Final Destination Bloodlines. You absolutely can.
Oh, God, yeah.
The kid with the piano?
Yeah.
I was like, no.
But you know what?
This is the most I've ever wanted to watch it, which I don't know what that says about me.
Gleeful moment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
What a bitch.
F1. You go ahead.
I almost walked out of F1, really? The movie, because I didn't have earplugs. And I was like, am I actively damaging my hearing? Mm. My sister's losing her hearing and I'm like freaking out about like my future because I can't podcast edit if I can't hear, among other things. And it's so loud. It's so loud. I went to see it in the Dolby Cinema because the only reason I'm seeing this is for the inevitable mm-hmm. sound nomination. And I was like, well, I might as well go to the one where it has sound that I can feel. Oh. And then I regretted it instantly. So there was that element to it. But also, I just kind of found that movie very repetitive and annoying. Like, really repetitive. And it has the Captain Kirk problem. Every situation, somebody who knows what they're doing is like, here's what we're doing. And then Brad Pitt's like, well, what if we did it my Mavericky way? And then they either don't do it his Mavericky way and everything goes wrong, or they do it his Mavericky way and oh my God, it worked perfectly. And it just happens over and over and over and over again. And it's just annoying.
Yeah.
The races are fine. I felt like they're all the same. Yeah, it's just so repetitive.
It's my job to be repetitive. My job. My job. Repetitiveness is my job.
Well, no, it's F1, so they're more like... Camila was doing the round in a circle motion, and it's F1, so it's more like... Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, yeah, they turn both directions.
They turn in this one.
Which is like, how does Brad Pitt know how to turn in both directions? Mm-hmm.
I gave it a very good review. This could be enormously influenced by the fact that I bought a D-Box ticket.
Yes.
This is the perfect D-Box movie because those chairs can't really make you feel like you're in a spaceship or getting thrown around by Godzilla, but they sure can make you feel like you're in a race car.
Yeah.
They can rumble and they can shake and break and, you know, do all of that stuff perfectly. So it was full immersion for me.
It's not a movie, it's a theme park ride, which like is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm looking forward to Avatar 3 very much. Right. Thank you. it's frustrating. And I am seeing a lot of really good reviews for this. So maybe there's something I'm missing, but didn't like it.
I liked it, but it's not, you don't need to, you know, if you like this stuff. If you like movies like this, did you like Ford v Ferrari? Did you like Rush? Do you like movies about car racing? Then yeah, you're probably gonna. If not, what was that other one? Gran Turismo? That happened. If you liked
any
of these.
This is not as good as Gran Turismo, which is 3. A ridiculous thing to say.
Megan 2 is so bad.
I know, I didn't see it because I heard only bad things.
I couldn't imagine it being good.
Did they really fucked up? They got the appeal wrong. Like, the movie, she was scary, and so when we made her fun, it was ironic a little bit. It was like, it's like Freddy Krueger. It's like we're making a mascot out of the villain. And in this movie, they were like, never mind, she's the hero now, and it's an action movie, and she's going to kick ass. And
you know,
it's like,
I'm pretty sure I said in my original review, I was like, I hope in the sequel they go full camp and give her rocket go-go boots. And it sounds like I was wrong.
You were wrong. Well, There might have
or
been
I
a
got
way
what I wanted, you got but what I you shouldn't wanted have and, wanted yeah. it.
Right. There might have been
wrong
a way
to want it.
There might have been a way to do it good, but it's like a straight up, you know, it starts like Mission Impossible. Yeah. Like little green text on the screen and we're in a bunker in the Middle East because the extra bad robot is gonna go rogue and we need to get Megan to stop her. Like, no, this is not the no. Did we talk about 28 Years Later?
Nope.
No.
Because we've been gone for a while.
Have you seen it?
Not yet.
I love it.
Yay!
I loved it. It's one of those movies that is very deliberately, we are playing with your emotions and we are talking about death and thinking about death and we are trying to be big ideas. Mm. And some people see those and find it too cloying and too, you know, but it just completely worked for me where it's like, no, we're going to use this to really talk about death and eternity. Mm. And to do that, and at the same time have, you know, great zombie action. It's very busy. It's a lot of the camera moving and weird montages and weird director tricks. And I'm here and I'm Danny Boyle and I'm showing off. So you have to be on board for that too.
Yeah.
But I am.
Yeah.
So I loved it a lot. A lot of people have a problem with the ending because the ending is setting up the next movie, which is supposedly going to be much campier. Actually, the beginning and the ending are scenes to set up the movie that's coming out in January. There's another movie.
What? Is it going to be a part two? Or, I mean,
28 years later and three more weeks?
Because I was looking forward to 28 Days Before, the prequel.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Right?
28 Years Later, The Bone Temple is coming out in early 2026.
Okay.
Weird.
With this other character that we see a little bit of. And it is a tonal shift from the thing. And so it's a little. But Ralph Fiennes is so fucking good in this. And as I know, we're all talking about it. But I, no matter how much we talk about it, I can't prepare you for the amount of zombie dong that's in this movie. There's so much.
Zombie dong?
It is so.
Why?
It is so. So large.
So you want to take like 40% of the genitals away from 28 Years Later and put them in 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. And my favorite detail about that is I understand why the zombies are naked. Mm-hmm. They've been
zombies for 30 years.
They're like second or third generation zombies at this. Second generation zombies, I guess. They never were people to have clothes. Why would they have clothes? Granted, fine. But apparently they laid all this out and someone was like, hey, Danny, your main character is a 12-year-old boy. Yeah, it's like, you can't have 50 naked adults around a 12-year-old boy. He's like, well, why not? Daniel. He's like, you can't do that. And he's like, fine. And so they just made a bunch of prosthetic. So they're all wearing fake zombie dongs. And apparently that makes it okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
So
that's,
if this movie gets a makeup nomination,
mm-hmm.
that will be for prosthetic penis. Dongs.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
And we can all dream. And I liked Elio, and I don't know why it bombed, but hey. I don't understand how kids' movies hit or don't. Robin, what else did you see?
Well, I am so disappointed that The Old Guard 2 on Netflix was terrible.
Oh, I was
know.
Afraid of that.
It was so bad. And like, it's a new director, which I think is part of the problem because the fights look like rehearsal.
Oh.
They look so choreographed. It looks like they're
That's
dancing.
A shame.
It doesn't look like they're fighting at all. And then also, it's another one of these movies that just fucking stops. That is just like, we'll finish it. We'll finish the story later. Credits. And like, this movie was made in 2022 and it's just now coming out. So like, we're never getting the end, right? The story's never going to actually be resolved. It's so frustrating.
It took so long.
A Divergent.
It's a Divergent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Charlize, I'm sorry. You deserve better. But on Netflix, thing I did love, K-pop Demon Hunters.
I keep hearing about this.
I watch it. I think Kaj might like it too. Mm. Like, it's, you fight demons with K-pop. I mean, and then there's a boy band that's demons. Like, what more could you want in a film?
You don't have to have any knowledge going in. This isn't part of a franchise or it's just a.
Okay.
And Colin did not understand what K-pop was.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's really cool that they just like sometimes sing in Korean and sometimes sing in English. And I was like, that's what K-pop is.
That's the genre.
Yes.
Really, the whole thing?
Yeah.
That's the K in the K-pop.
Right. Also, the songs are legit good. Mm. And then I watched the Looney Tunes movie, The Day the Earth Blew Up. Really charming. Really cute little movie. Enjoyed it very much. And I watched Cleaner. Terrible. Made
with Adrian
the old
Brody?
Cleaner? No. Different Cleaner.
Yeah.
Cleaner has Daisy Ridley and Clive Owen, and it's a Die Hard. And the problem is that the terrorists are actually terrorists. Oh. You need them to be thieves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as fun if they are principled. And it's just a bad movie overall. And then I watched Becoming Led Zeppelin. Mm. If you are a man of a certain age, you should, a white man of a certain age, you should watch that movie.
And sometimes you are. In your taste.
Colin literally said to me, he's like, you are currently watching this through your father's eyes. Mm-hmm. He's like, you are channeling your father. And then I cried. Aww. But he was right. Like, I truly became my dad for a minute and enjoyed that very much.
I don't tell TV. I don't like them.
Oh, okay, I won't.
I don't. It's his voice. It's God. And I hate when people say, oh, Bob Dylan, it's his voice. Oh, Tom Waits, it's his voice. With Robert Plant, it's his voice. You sound like a sick cat. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm not into him. Yeah.
I love Led Zeppelin.
Don't tell DVE. Anything else?
I mean, I've watched a million other movies, but we got a screening to get to.
We have a screening in a little bit. There's a Western called The Grand Duel, spaghetti Western called The Grand Duel, which I watched. You can watch it or not. It's if you like that kind of thing, you know, Lee Van Cleef, glowering. It's great. But I put it on and I was like, I recognize this music. Did I watch this and forget that I watched it?
Oh, I love when this happens.
Did I watch this and like neglect to letterboxed it? No, a significant portion of the score for Kill Bill is the score from The Grand Duel.
Yeah, it's like when I watched The Go-Between, and it's the same score as May December. I did have one more movie.
Yeah.
Heads of State on Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Idris is that the John Cena and John one? Cena. Yeah. Listen. If you watch it with a 9-year-old's eyes, great time. Great time.
If you don't?
I did watch it with a 9-year-old's
eyes. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's draw a movie, shall we? How can we, where to go, what to do? I don't want to watch more Jim Carrey.
Why?
It's Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Veto.
Exercise my veto, man.
Woo! Okay. Thank you, Camila.
It's just, isn't that a Christmas? No, I don't. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
have a
no.
It's like a. It's like one of the creepy fantasy type things. It's.
I don't want it.
I'm pretty sure I reviewed it or saw it or something.
I've never seen it, and I don't want to. And I thank you, Camila, for your service.
Yeah, thank you. I know the veto is always a risk, and that movie is probably like watchable. And so now, what do we have? Now we have 10,000 BC.
Okay, cool.
Is that animated?
No.
No. Isn't it Roland Emmerich?
It's a flop action movie by Roland Emmerich. No, it was a box office success. It was just a critical flop. That's fine. I don't care. It's going to be a saber-toothed tiger or shit. I don't care.
This is interesting to me. It probably won't be any good, but I've never seen it.
It's on Hulu.
Great.
There's
good veto.
A good 500 words of historical accuracy in the Wikipedia page.
You love to see it.
Where it criticizes,
you know what?
Which
I wasn't
animals
around.
Were stalking which hominids.
I was not around 12,000 years ago, and so... I'm just going to take their word for it.
Yeah. It's all got to be true. Okay. 10,000 BC. I mean, he did Independence Day.
What number is that, by the way? Like 5?
Well, we on our list, all of the ones we've done are at the top of the list. So our list starts at 231. This was 237.
Got it.
And it would probably be even higher, but for quotation marks, you got to put quotation marks so it displays right. The actual first thing on our list is 1979's ... and Justice for All.
Got it.
Because punctuation would be before.
Pacino was nominated for that. It's This Whole Courtroom is Out of Order.
Oh. Yeah, that 1917, 2012, 21, 342. There's a lot. We 310 to Yuma, 12 Monkeys. 8 Mile. There's a lot of number
ones.
Right. Yeah, and this is one of them. 10,000 BC. Before we get to that, it's not from the 50 Shades soundtrack. What was the number one song in America? I didn't update the date. February 13th, 2015.
Taylor Swift?
No.
You said that with, like, disappointment.
I said that with heat. I'm very warm.
Oh, okay.
Ariana Grande. I don't know. Was she a thing
yeah.
then?
Yeah, but okay. No.
Drake?
Mm-mm.
Meghan Trainor?
No. Giant hit...
Whip and Nene.
I think that was before this.
That was a little bit earlier. This is a giant hit. It is not... The credited artist is not the artist you think is the credited artist.
Oh, is this Uptown Funk?
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, Bruno Mars and...
It's Mark Ronson.
Because
yes.
It's Mark Ronson.
Academy Award winner Mark Ronson.
And Bruno Mars.
Featuring Bruno Mars. Okay. Yeah. That album is amazing.
Marks?
Yes. The song right before that is that one with Mystical. Like, someone found Mystical for the first time in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Stevie Wonder's on it.
What?
Like, every track is... Huh. It's one of those. It's one of those Mark Ronson calls different people into the studio and does stuff. And it's really good.
That's interesting. I'd...
Mm-hmm.
Blue Man Group did that too. Are the Blue Man Group a thing?
Still?
I think they left Universal Studios. They were at Universal Studios forever, but I don't remember seeing them. Learn about our shows. They're still there. They're still blue. They haven't gotten less blue. I don't. I'm not signing up for the Blue Man Group newsletter. I'm okay. Sorry.
Nobody cares anymore.
Yep. All right.